pizza. And the name of the place was Royal Pizza, and it was royal. It was amazing. Fit for kings and queens, I'm sure. But the last time I went by that lovely place, it was closed. I was heartbroken. I said, this is wrong. The best pizza in the world should never stop being made. And then, sometime later, I went by and I was told that it had been reopened under new management. And I said, hallelujah, God answers prayers. It has been reopened. I hope they make it just the way the previous managers did. I hope it never closes again. You ever had that favorite food that you like? You go to the favorite place, and it's just not the same, and someone tells you it's under new management, and you say, why did this have to happen? Or maybe a place you liked really well, and it just got not so good, and then you kind of wish that it was under new management. Has that ever happened? I'm getting mixed responses from you here. Okay, it's one of those plights of first world problems, isn't it? Can't get the best thing we like, and we feel so abused because of it. God help us. God help us indeed. But you know, being under new management and finding the best way forward is really what Advent's all about. And as we start a new church year today, we think about how we're looking for a new management. We're looking for a new start. We're looking for things to go better in this church year, in our walk with the Lord, and maybe they did last. Indeed, we're going to look at a psalm today, a psalm that speaks into that. In fact, this psalm, number 72, is called a royal psalm. And by that means, it's a psalm that's all about His Majesty the King, or Her Majesty the Queen. And this psalm claims to be a psalm of Solomon, actually the only one in the whole book that's ascribed to David's son, who became the king during the kingdom's greatest expanse. But as a young man who's seeking God's wisdom, he wants to be sure that this restart, this new administration, this management goes maybe even better if possible than Daddy's did. Indeed, what a good thing to ask for, not just for a new king and a new assignment, but maybe for any of us when we're about to do something new or start something new. This royal psalm has a lot of words of hope. Hope, and even exaggerated hope of just how awesome we hope it will be. Way better than the best pizza in the world. Way better than the best anything we could come up with. We're hoping that God will come up with something really amazing for us, and we'll be able to live up to it. And indeed, that's a good thing for us to do. To aspire to the highest and best we can, right at the front end, before any holiday family celebrations come to weigh us down, before any New Year's resolutions get made, let's just say this is the start. And maybe this is a psalm that can help us get there. I'm going to ask that you stand with me, because we're going to read it off of the screen. Most of this is the New International Version, but in some places where it needed a little help in the original language, I made a little bit of alteration. So let's read this together responsively, just like we do the opening time that we start our worship together. Could we get this? Oh, I have it. What am I telling you to? I'm sorry. Here we go. No, back it up. Here we go. I'll start. You read the white lines. Endow the king with your justice, O God, the royal son with your righteousness. The mountains will bring prosperity to the people, the hills the fruit of righteousness. Let them fear you, O God, as long as the sun endures, as long as the moon through all generations. In his days, the righteous will flourish. Prosperity will abound till the moon is no more. The desert tribes will bow before him, and his enemies will lick the dust.
all kings will bow before him and all nations will serve him. He will take pity on the weak and the needy and save the needy from death. Long may he live. May gold from Sheba be given to him. May people ever pray for him and bless him all day long. Let its fruit flourish like Lebanon. Let it thrive like the grass of the field. All nations will be blessed through him, and they will call him blessed. Praise be to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Be seated, please. That's exactly how this psalm would have played in the enthronement ceremony of a new king. Did you hear all those exaggerated words of hope of how amazing it should be, how righteous, how great it will be? Indeed, that's the new hope anytime we have a new administration. We've lived long enough to see many administrations. Let's think about governance, shall we, for a minute? Our own land, our own series of governors and prime ministers and governments. We vote for them, and every time we do, we hope for the best. We long for all those promises to be kept. We long for everybody to get what they need and the whole country to go in the right direction, don't we? And it almost sounds as exaggerated as this. But that's how this psalm was used. At the beginning of a reign, starting with Solomon, since he composed it, obviously, this is what was wanted. As strong and as good and as best as it can be, because God is on our side, and if the right king's in the right place, we can move forward. Indeed, we want to move forward. But what will this great hopefulness look like specifically? What words from this psalm really are the most telling of what it's right for us to long for and hope for? I'd like to suggest that they're mixed in with every idea through each section of this psalm. Verses 1 through 4 use the word justice and righteousness and couples them together like a married man and woman. Righteousness, justice. You see, they go together because without one, the other one inevitably falls apart. Without one, the other inevitably falls apart. We want to see justice in every circumstance. People get ugly. They do terrible things. Things happen that shouldn't happen, but it needs to be set right, right? That's why we have courts. Isn't it the truth? Indeed, we want there to be justice. But in God's kingdom, the fact is righteousness creates justice. God says, look, I made you. I fashioned you to be in my image. And when you live according to my ethics, when you live according to my standard, when you treat people the way I treat people, justice will follow. But if you treat each other like animals, which you're all too inclined to do, injustice will follow. Oh God, I think we get it. You made us to live a certain way, to function a certain way, to love and care and keep our commitments in a certain way. And when we do, justice just springs up. That's what we want. When we want a new administration or a new turn in our own lives or a new turn in the things that we're a part of, whether it's our church or a community association or even the whole nation itself, even the world, God have mercy, we're hoping that that person knows enough about righteousness as God defines it that justice can be served. My friends, one of the reasons we get so easily distracted and disillusioned and not even that, just flat out disenfranchised and cynical, is because people don't live by the righteousness of God. And therefore, we have to have courts, and we have to have elections, and we have to have changes to get the bums out, because they're doing everything for themselves, living like animals, thinking like animals, survival of the fittest, manipulation, control, power, not righteousness. Oh God, I want to live in a righteous way, so that justice will follow in my heart, in my family's life, in my community's life. Righteousness, the way you define it, God. Not the way I think I should define it. That has so many dimensions. We could spend all day just talking about the dimensions of that, but let's move on. The next thing that's a part of this new change we're hoping for is a fear of God. Verse 5 is the only verse in the whole psalm, well, until you get to the end, that says something about God. Oh God, let the nations fear you. Some of the translations lose that because they're trying to make it continuous, but it's right there. Instead of thinking about the king and what the king should do, what the leader should do, and what that should be like, it focuses straight on past the leader to God and says, that's the point. We've got to fear you, God. If we have no fear of you, no respect of you, everything else will start to break down. And indeed, that's what happens. Fear of God is primal. Not shudder and terror of God, although that would also be appropriate, but a healthy respect for who God is and how he does have the right to call the shots. Indeed, God, I want you to call the shots in my life. I want to know your ways. I want to understand how you work so that I am carefully, respectfully doing what you ask me to and avoiding the things that you ask me to, because when I do, as verses 6 and 7 describe, there'll be reliability. The borders will be protected. The rain will fall. The crops will grow. We'll have what we need and no one taking it away. There will be peace. There will be reliability. Service will not be disconnected or discontinued. It will not fall. I can resume my life and keep moving forward because God is at the helm and things are going as they should. But if I don't fear him, then I'm out there on my own. Oh, king, hear it. Oh, person, hear it today. It's not just true for the leader, it's true for every single one. Fear of God, healthy respect for him. That's why you're here today, because you fear God. You believe there is a God in heaven, and he has shown us the truth about himself. He's come to earth in this small fashion, in a way to show us humongous things about ourselves and our world. Thank you. Thank you for being here. And I hope it's for the right reason, for fear of God and not for keeping up appearances, because that's what's wanted. But let's move on. The next thing that the psalm indicates that is needed is expanding influence. Oh God, I long that that kind of justice and righteousness and respect for you will just keep moving forward. And the psalmist, in all of his greatest hopes, hopes that the borders will keep expanding through the desert so that even the nomads will bend a knee and lick the dust. Far away to the north where the river is and those barbaric tribes that always try and invade us. Far away to the southern edges of the peninsula where water hits the Dead Sea and there doesn't seem like anything beyond that. Oh God, all across the earth, would you keep spreading this good influence that you bring, this new administration that rolls out the bad and makes everything right? Yeah, I pray for that. I want that. I think it'd be a beautiful thing, don't you? We're part of a kingdom that's not based in this earth. And this is one of its consulates right here. This is where we hear from the ambassador, the Lord Jesus, and he tells us what's true about his kingdom moving forward. And we say, yes, I want to be in there. I want to be a part of that. I want to see the kingdom grow in my family, in my neighborhood, in my workplace, because when it does, I won't have to worry about injustice and all the ugly stuff people do, because people will respond with the righteousness of God, and justice will be a part of my experience, and that's really what I want. God's expanded influence in my life. And notice what happens in verse, what is it, 8 or 11? Let's look real quick here. The end of verse 10. When that happens, when it's extended to the edge of the earth, three things are listed. The kings of the world will present him gifts. Number one, giving. Beginning of verse 11, the kings will bow down to him. Two, worship. End of verse 11, and all nations will serve him. Three, Christian service. Whoa, that's what it's supposed to be about. The new administration only works when those three things are true. When we not only worship him, like you're here doing now, thank the Lord, good job, you got one down. Two, bring him gifts. We take an offering. I want to see his kingdom extended. I'm going to give to that. I'm going to invest in that. Amen. Third one, serve. I'm willing to serve. I'm willing to make this place my embassy. I'm willing to make sure I pay my dues and I bring it and I call people to come to it because this is a place of redemption. There are five people in our midst today who've come to that place. They said, I'm ready for that level of buy-in. I want that new administration. I will commit to this fellowship. We have this thing in denominations called membership. And that really is the point. The point of membership is submission into the kingdom, to say, I will engage it fully. This will be my connecting place. This is where I will do what's needed so that God's justice and righteousness can fill the earth. I'm going to ask those five people, whose names are printed on the insert in case you don't know them, to come and stand in front of the table right now as we welcome them and take them in officially as members in our little portion of the body of Christ, our little dot in the kingdom of God. What a wonderful thing it is. And as they're coming, I just want to say this. This is the first time in the 11 years I've been with you almost that I've had five people who've been here for a really, really, really long time, most of them longer than I've been here. I don't know what's kept them from making this decision before, but I'm so grateful that they said, you know what, this is the time. This is what it's about. They are fulfilling what we're hearing about in the scriptures today. And so we have words for that, good words for that. These persons who stand before you now come to enter into covenant as members in full relationship, not just with Millikan Wesleyan Methodist Church, but the denomination of the Wesleyan Church, part of the Methodist family of churches across the world. With all of its accompanying rights and privileges and responsibilities, they testify that they've been born again. They have received the sacrament of baptism at some point in their life, either in infancy or now as adults. They've been instructed in and accepted the doctrines and polity of our version of the church, our part of it in the body of Christ, and they've been approved by vote as manifesting the Holy Spirit's presence and readiness to practice God's work of grace within their hearts. They have responded appropriately to the specific membership questions that delineate what this faith is according to the scriptures and as is required by the discipline. And so now, I ask them a question. Make sure I get the right one. Here we go. All right, Brylin and Cassandra, Faye and Keith and Todd, by coming before us today, you five indicate your purpose to publicly confess the Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to be your God and the object of your highest love. You accept the Lord Jesus as your Redeemer and the Holy Spirit as your sanctifier, comforter, and guide. You joyfully dedicate yourselves to God that within the everlasting covenant of His grace, you might be used in His service to glorify and honor Him. And you promise to hold Him as the highest good in your life, that you will give diligent attention to the commandments and principles of the Scriptures, that you will seek the honor and advancement of His glorious kingdom, and that you will turn away from ungodliness and worldly desires to live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present world. You also purpose to join yourselves to this local congregation, submitting yourselves to our principles of government and walking in love and fellowship with your fellow members, to seek peace, purity, and growth in grace at every turn, both inside and outside of this building we call our own. Do you freely and sincerely devote yourselves to be the Lord's within the fellowship of this church? If so, answer in unison, I do. I think I heard you all. That's wonderful. Very good. Well, I'm glad to hear that. Welcome to our administration. Now there's some words that the rest of us who are members already want to say to welcome you. Say it with me, congregation. We welcome you. We give thanks to God for the gift of you as members together in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the Wesleyan Church. We renew our commitment to become a family that surrounds you with love and forgiveness. With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. May God be glorified as we pray, attend, give, and serve through Christ our Lord. Amen. In fact, there's those words again. Pray, give, attend, right? Just like the psalm said. Amazing how we try to draw everything we can from the scriptures as God lays them out to us. Well, that's beautiful. Thank you, congregation. I hope we all live up to our own highest, best goals. And as we do, I have two reminders for you who stand before us now. Two things that, as your current pastor, I want to invite you to consider. One, this is only a temporary arrangement. At some point, the Lord will call you somewhere else, maybe to another embassy, maybe to the glorious embassy in the sky. Whatever the case might be, membership is not some kind of status. It's a statement of where God has brought you right now and how God wants to use you and engage you and shape you right now. So don't hold on to the membership long after you've moved on by the Holy Spirit's direction. Take it with you. It is a temporary assignment. And the second thing I have for you is this. Every 6 months, this group has holy conferencing. We listen together. We pray together about the goals of this fellowship and what God is calling us uniquely to do at this little intersection of Kennedy Road and Clayton Drive. And we need you to come to those meetings, to add your voice and say, as I pray, this is what I sense. Sometimes it will make us think more deeply. Sometimes it will challenge you to think more deeply. But in all of this, the Holy Spirit uses each of us to bless each other and to find His holy purposes for our communal lives. So with those two reminders, it's my privilege, on behalf of the 121 current members of Millikan Wesleyan Church, to extend to you the right hand of fellowship. Todd, welcome to the church. Keith, welcome to the church. Sister Faye, welcome to the church. Sister Cassandra, blessings, welcome. Brother Brilliant, about time, welcome to the church.
Thank you.
Indeed. You may be seated. I said to Berlian's wife, I said, you know, you started coming here in the mid-70s. You are like the longest holdout, I think, ever in the history of this congregation. Before it was Pablo and Remy, but they finally joined about 5 years ago, and now you, my friend. So thank the Lord. But God works with us in our own timetable. Before I move on with the sermon, I did want to read something that Brother Todd sent to me. And although the other four are wonderful people, Todd felt like he wanted to write this, and I thought it was a beautiful expression of what it means to be the church, so I'm sharing just part of it with you. He writes, thinking of this day, good morning, brothers and sisters in the Lord. Today I am thrilled to be taken into membership in God's home here at Millikan, and thank you to my friends who are visiting today to encourage and support me, although some of them got waylaid by the fog, didn't they? Several years ago, I walked in these doors dressed in my collar and was stunned by the warm welcome the church gave. In the months that followed, I helped give out Halloween candy, sang with you at seniors' homes, and even won a door prize at my first annual Christmas dinner. Thank you for the ladies who did that. A Christmas candle. When my mother took sick, I had to sell my home and look after her for 5 years before she died. On the last day of her life, she told me that she was going on a holiday and I should pick up my life where I left off. That meant back to church. Before Mom passed, she and I had produced 5 television programs and 1 feature film. This was later edited and bloomed into the beautiful Christian film Adam's Testament, which we will be showing here at Millikan Church in February. Thank you for praying for my mother during her final years. I will never forget the day that I re-entered the church after that. Your kindness and encouragement have been like no other church I've ever known. Today I stand before you and God, picking up my life where I left off, ready to join and serve the Lord. It has been a long journey to reach this point in my life, but now I can say I have an extended family, no longer feeling that I am alone. Blessings to all, Brother Todd Yule. I know that story would be repeated by the other four who've been even longer with us, and thank God that He is at work. And what a beautiful thing it is to set ourselves to His new work. Well, beyond the expanding influence, there's just a couple more things that must be said about this particular psalm. And that is this. Notice what happens when that administration is in place in the psalmist's mind and in the reader's and the speaker's hopes for it. There's this sense that neediness will be cared for. Human need will be looked after. Indeed, it could be said that one of the primal, and most influential ways the church will bring the kingdom of God into the earth is by its loving compassion to meet human need. I would suggest to you, dear friends, that the reason that our denomination started as a branch within Methodism some 170 some years ago was because we recognized the vital importance of this. That redemption, from slavery was crucial and could not be swept under the rug, or we would be unfaithful to the gospel that God had called us to. I'm happy to say that our church is vitally engaged in ways that are redeeming from slavery. Even still, the girls in the top left picture there, they've been rescued from human trafficking in Odessa, Ukraine, because we support World Hope Canada's work to build homes there. We are expressing our faithfulness to the administration of God to do his good works by rescuing them from traffickers who watch them walk out of the orphanage doors and have an option for them. Thank you for giving. And in the bottom right, this is the Kamakwi Wesleyan Hospital in the northern Selalimba province of Sierra Leone. No other hospital was in that entire province when the Ebola crisis hit a few years ago. But we gave, and we prayed, and we gave, and we prayed, and it was a redemptive place where many lives were preserved. Thank you. This is fundamental to what it means to be Christian. This is fundamental to what it means to be God's people, and we must pray with all our hearts for places like this that redeem and care and rescue life from severe malnutrition as we every single month support the Alpha program that does just that. And it's not just in faraway places of great need that we give ourselves to give. It's locally here. You heard the announcement. Give to the Markham Pregnancy Center. Girls right here in wealthy Markham find themselves abused and pushed out by fathers and boyfriends who want nothing to do with them keeping the baby. And we have an option that says God is the giver of life. Help us. Let us help you see what the options really are instead of going to the hospital and told there's only one option. We also are supportive of this building up on the left, which is in Aurora. It's a home for women who are addicted to drugs, and they can't get off, and they don't know what to do, and they've sold everything they have, even their bodies, to get their next fix. But Teen Challenge does an amazing work there to bless the needy, the vulnerable, who are ready to say, I can't do this anymore. I need divine help. What a beautiful thing it is. And then, of course, on the far right, the insert in the the inside leaf of the bulletin talks about this new ministry in Thunder Bay that's Transformation Church. And what a wonderful report we've received as we've prayed and given and even gone like three times to this place. And beautiful to see how God is answering to prayer to redeem lives in a very needy neighborhood that's made up of, many of them, people who are of indigenous background, who are in desperate places, living in a city that's cold and hard and not nearly as wealthy as the one we call home. My dear friends, this is what it means when these words in the psalm say, oh God, bless the needy, help them not be crushed. Help us help them not be crushed. Help us provide for them. Use us as we give, even as we serve them. It's a wonderful thing to be a part of a church that has a heart for all of these things, because this is God's heart. This is what's called for when God's holy management comes in. And I pray that we continue to give even more in the days ahead, outside of ourselves, because that is what God wants to do to extend his glorious rule across the earth. And then lastly, there's verse 16, a verse that says, when the right administration is in place, there will be abundance. When all that's ahead of us, all that was in the verses previous, there will be great joy and every need will be provided for. It's hard to believe. This isn't coming out of the mouth of a politician or someone who wants us to live in Pollyanna style, believing that everything's going to work out even when there's really hard challenges ahead. No, this is how God works. Even to the extreme of saying, there will be grain on top of the hilltops. Anyone who's lived on a farm knows you don't grow grain on the top of a hilltop. It doesn't work. The wind does nasty things with it. And it can't be the case. But in the ancient world, when they heard this, they'd think about how sometimes predators, sometimes thieves, sometimes enemies would come over the crest of the hill and watch for a vulnerable moment and then to sweep down and take all of the grain that grew in the valley. But this hope is that there'll be even grain on top, so that even those who come to pray will find that they need not bother anyone else, because God in his wonderful, amazing ways has already given, even on the hilltops, a place where nothing will grow. Yeah, that's the kind of kingdom that God wants to create. That's the way it should be, a place where there's abundance, even on the hilltops where the grain waves. Oh, I guess it comes down to this. What about you? You know, the truth is, Israel's kings never really lived up to this. Each and every one of them, once they had power, they liked it a lot. Once they got in control of others, they didn't want to let go. Once they tasted the good fruit of what it meant to live off of the work of others, they never wanted to stop. It was as addictive as crack. Couldn't stop it. Didn't want to let go. Would fight and claw to keep everything they had. And I'm afraid it's not true for just kings. It's true for average folks like you and me. We have what we have. And we don't want anyone taken away. We want the comforts, the privilege, the luxuries that this life has given us. We've worked hard to get to those places, haven't we? And we're certainly not going to let them go. But always there was disappointment. Always there was disappointment that every other person and every other leader's administration turned south. They just didn't make it as good as they used to. It was just not as tasteful. And just like the pizza that went south in my perfect universe, so did everything else. Indeed. All of this sad closure to all these things remind us that in humanity, there is always failure. There is always self-serving. Just as Brother Carl said as he was singing, I'm at the back of the line. Me too, Carl. I'm at the back of the line behind you. And indeed, if we're honest, we know it's true. No leader delivers us. No king, no new administration, no political party, no promises, no hopes for the future, no aspirations of our children, no affirmations or anything else will ever do it, because it all ends up going south. And the truth is, this psalm was meant to point beyond itself and beyond the new king who is now ascending to the throne. It was meant to point to a king who would come much later. And as the final verses of this psalm reveal, a king whose administration would in fact fulfill every highest hope there could possibly be. The one who would be a son of David, way past Solomon, and way better than Solomon. The one whose name was Yeshua, Jesus, the promised one, anointed of the Holy Spirit with great power from the Lord. His kingdom would enter in, and it would never disappoint. This is why people flock to him. This is why people still flock to him, because it's always right. It's always true. And just like verse 18 says so definitively, God is the one who does all things well. He alone does marvelous things. I got to look past the king. I got to look past the governor, the prime minister. I got to look past my role models. I've got to look past all the other people who've been so good to me and so helpful to me, because one day they will let me down, and I can lose my faith over it, or I can lift my eyes to the skies and know that there is one who has come and will come again, who indeed can make it right. Have you discovered him? Have you come under his reign? Have you come to submit, to give, to worship, to serve him with everything that's in you? That really is the question that's begged at the end of the psalm. All nations will be blessed through him. Not just Israel in its ancient or even its current form, but all nations. Jesus came to redeem all peoples to himself, to make right every disappointed and vulnerable place within us. But Jesus didn't stay. He told his disciples, I am going back to the Father, and it is better for you that I do, because if I don't go back, then the Holy Spirit will not come. And when the Spirit comes, he will teach you all things, and the things that you do will be even greater than the things that I have done. How easily we forget that. How easily we think, well, Jesus is far away in heaven, and we always think about him. Indeed, we do, but he told us to look for even more things that God will do through us, because the Spirit is accessible to us. And so the question, my friends, from the psalm, in all of its bitter disappointment, longing for God, who alone can bring the right administration into our world, or even into our very inner souls, is this: are we prepared for the new administration? The Lord is coming. Maranatha, even so, Lord, quickly come. But as you do, I want to be ready. I don't want to hear the trumpet not having been ready. I want to be prepared, rightly positioned in your embassy, in my mind, in my heart. We pray a prayer of faith. We align ourselves with God's people as we do in membership. And then we function. We look around. We ask God, where are the needs you want me to meet? Maybe it's the needs of people like this that we're praying blessing on, that we're praying they'll see the Lord like they never have for the first time. And in a moment, we're going to pray for them too. Our musicians are coming as we're going to wrap up here, because we've come to the end of this good word from God. And the question is before you. Are you waiting for the Lord? Are you watching for Him? Are you listening for the places in which He wants to open your eyes, not just to be in His kingdom, but to be an agent of His kingdom? What a wonderful thing it is. What a beautiful thing it is. How glorious, how exaggeratingly awesome it will be as we do. Wait for the Lord.